The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, text 20, recorded on August 5th, 1997 at Chicago.
This is the perfection of life. To always remember the beautiful golden form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing in ecstasy before the beautiful form of Lord Jagannath. That be the ultimate object of our meditation. So Prabhuji has asked me to speak on this verse today.
Gunan etan atitya tel dehi deha srut avang Janma mrityu jara dukhaya vimukta mrittam ashnute. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy nectar even in this life, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. How one can stay in the transcendental position, even in this body, in full Krishna consciousness, is explained in this verse. The Sanskrit word dehi means embodied. Although one is within this material body, by his advancement in spiritual knowledge, he can be free from the influence of the modes of nature. He can enjoy the happiness of spiritual life even in this body, because after leaving the body he is certainly going to the spiritual sky. But even in this body he can enjoy spiritual happiness. In other words, devotional service and Krishna consciousness is the sign of liberation from material entanglement. And this will be explained in the 18th chapter. When one is freed from the influence of the modes of material nature, he enters into devotional service. Om Agyanti Medandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshu Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When the embodied being is able to transcend these three modes associated with the material body, he can become free from birth, death, old age, and their distresses, and can enjoy the nectar even in this life. Shanti. Thank you. In this chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Truth, who has descended in his original form of Krishna into this world of duality, is explaining the essential nature of this material world, how the living being struggles and suffers at every phase of life in so many ways, why that suffering is taking place, and how to become free from that suffering, not just temporarily, like we do from some intoxication or painkiller, or by exciting our mind and senses in such a way that we temporarily forget all the anxieties of our life. But he is teaching us how to cleanse our hearts and purify our minds in such a way that the true, blissful, eternal nature of the soul is uncovered. Krishna explains that the soul is always full of bliss because it is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna, who is the embodiment of Satchit Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss. Therefore, our essential nature is Satchit Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of happiness. But because we have forgotten our nature, and we are identifying our entire existence with this external, superficial nature, therefore we have to suffer due to that temporary condition that we are identifying ourselves with. This material nature is composed of three modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. Sattva-guna, Rajaguna, and Tamaguna. And these three modes of material nature are interacting in innumerable ways and creating so many different types of enjoyment and distress, creating so many incredible forms of duality. And these dualities are like the limitless waves at an ocean. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad. Sometimes we're honored, and sometimes we're dishonored. Sometimes we feel pleasure, and other times pain. Success and failure. Birth and death. Honor and dishonor. There are unlimited dualities. And we are very attached to enjoying the positive side and very fearful of the negative side. But you cannot separate one from the other any more than you can accept the heads from the tails if you take the coin. If you take the coin, you have both. If you want the enjoyments of this world, you have to take the miseries of this world. And to the degree you enjoy, to that degree you will suffer. To the degree you find pleasure, to that degree you will have pain. The root cause of all suffering is attachment to these three modes of material nature. But the fact is, we cannot just become detached from them, because the soul by nature is looking for bliss. You cannot be detached from the sources of suffering unless you attach yourself to something higher. And Bhagavad Gita is teaching us this science: how to attach ourselves to Krishna, who is the reservoir of all pleasure, who is the source of all bliss. And the process of attaching ourselves to Krishna is through serving Krishna. The connection between the soul and God is bhakti, or devotional service. And devotional service begins with hearing the truth, as was originally announced by Krishna in this world, and as coming down through his representatives and through his words in the scriptures. And then by repeating these truths and chanting his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
This is the nectar that every living being is longing for. It can all be found through hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the mood of a humble servant of the Lord. We have so many fears and so many anxieties as long as we are not tasting the nectar of Krishna. One time, Lord Chaitanya, who is the incarnation of God, Krishna himself, who appeared with his full opulences into this world. Only 500 years ago, Srila Prabhupada, when he would talk about Lord Chaitanya's coming, he talked like it happened a few minutes before. He said, recently, only 500 years ago, the Lord has come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because in the eyes of eternity, we cannot imagine how fortunate we are that the Lord has come. Lord Chaitanya only appears once in a day of Brahma. And a day of Brahma is billions of years. I believe it's 4,320,000,000 years, something. And only 500 years ago, very recent past. And when Lord Chaitanya came, he came to give liberation from all sufferings forever, an ecstatic experience of loving God in this life, and transfer unto the eternal abode of the Lord at the end of this life. So one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the village of Kumarahatta. At the time, his loving devotee, Srivas Thakur, was living there. And Srivas and his brother, Ramai Pandit, were very, very best of friends. These days, it's hard to find brothers who are best of friends. But they were best of friends. In fact, the husbands and the wives were best of friends. Srivas's wife was Malini. Everyone was best of friends in the family because Krishna was in the center of the family. If everyone is centered with the same purpose to love God, then naturally everyone loves each other. So Ramai Pandit and Srivas, they would just spend all day just reading Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting in kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya came and asked Srivas, all day you're just reading Srimad Bhagavatam, holy scriptures, and discussing it together, and chanting the holy names. How do you make your livelihood? How do you feed your family? Srivas said, in my heart I have no fear or no anxiety for anything. Everything I want I have. And Lord Chaitanya said, but I'm asking you, how do you make your livelihood? How will you feed? How will you maintain? Srivas said, I'm happy. My family's happy. We don't need anything. Lord Chaitanya, he said,
Shivas.
If you're going to be like this, you should just take sannyas. Shrivas said, I am not qualified to take sannyas. I will not take sannyas. I have no power to take sannyas. Lord Chaitanya asked, then tell me, how do you maintain your family responsibilities? How do you earn your livelihood to survive? And Shrivas replied,
one, two, three.
So Lord Chaitanya asked, what? And Shrivas replied, Lord Chaitanya inquired, can you explain? And Shrivas replied, Lord Chaitanya asked, what is this 1, 2, 3? And Shrivas said, if I clap my hands 3 times, no, actually what he said, if I'm chanting the holy names of the Lord with faith, and I am serving the devotees, if I clap my hand 3 times, and for that amount of time Krishna is not giving what we need to survive, I will go to the Ganges and drown myself. I will tie a pot around my neck and jump in the Ganges and go to the bottom. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he began to roar in ecstasy. He said, so much faith you have in the chanting of the holy names, that I give you on this day a benediction, that if someday in this world, if there is such a drought that everyone is starving to death, if things get so bad that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, has to beg with a begging bowl door to door just to eat. He says, if things get that bad, I guarantee there will never be a shortage of anything in Srivas Thakur's house because of his faith in the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki. Do you like that story? Thank you. Lord Chaitanya looked to Ramai Pandit and he said that you are such good friends with Shrivas. My desire is you always serve your older brother. Always serve him. That will be my greatest pleasure. This is the eternal truth. To serve those persons who have great faith in the chanting of the holy names is the perfection of our life. There is no greater way of pleasing Krishna than that service. Also, during that stay, another great personality came, Vasudev Dutt. He came along with Shivananda Sen. And Vasudev Dutt, what a great devotee he was. His wonderful qualities are explained, that his life and soul was only for the purpose of doing good for others. He was willing to sacrifice everything and anything just to help others. He had an income, but he would just give it all to others. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Shivananda Sen that please help Vasudev Dutt to balance his life so something's there for himself. But he just, his whole life, And Vasudev Dat would only see good qualities in others. It was impossible for him to look at a fault in another. He couldn't tolerate hearing the faults of others. He had absolutely not the slightest inclination to see a fault in another. He wanted to serve every living being by giving them Krishna. One time, Vasudev Dat in Jagannath Puri, he prayed to Lord Chaitanya that I have been longing and yearning for many years that my only prayer in life be fulfilled. Lord Chaitanya asked that Krishna will fulfill any prayer you have. What is it? He said, when I see the people of this world suffering due to forgetfulness of their constitutional relationship with Krishna, my heart breaks. It's unbearable. Therefore, please give me this one benediction that every living entity, however pious or sinful they may be, take them all back to the spiritual world to enjoy with you permanently. And whatever sins, whatever bad karma are within anyone and everyone, let all those sins and karma come on me and let me suffer in hell forever. But take them all back and let them enjoy with you. And he was not saying this theoretically. From the core of his heart, this was his only desire in life, to do that service for everyone. When Lord Chaitanya heard this, he began to cry. Such compassion. He said, Vasudev Dat, why would Krishna want a devotee like you to suffer in hell? Just by your desire, the whole world will go back to Godhead. Because your desire is so pure. But after they all go back, the whole world will get filled up with another batch of people who want to enjoy. So this day when Vasudev Dat came to Kumarahatta at Srivas's house, he fell at Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and began to weep. And because of his pure love and compassion and his natural saintly qualities, Vasudev Dat wept. It was so full of unalloyed love for God and compassion for all living beings that even hard stone, even dry wood, what to speak of human beings, their hearts would melt and they would weep just by hearing. It is said when Lord Chaitanya would weep, his weeping could be heard 2 miles away, and everyone would come running to see what is this, and their hearts would melt. So as the Lord, he empowered his own servants. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to weep. And he told all the devotees that Vasudev Dat, he is such a pure soul that I have made my life his property. I have descended to this world only for him. My life belongs to him. If he wants to sell me anywhere, he can sell me. That is his power. But I tell you again, and please know this is the truth, that I am the property of Vasudev Dat. Because of the nature of his compassion to other living beings, he purchased the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudev Dat, Srivas Thakur, these great devotees of the Lord, they were always tasting the sweetness of the nectar of hearing the glories of Krishna, chanting the names of Krishna, serving Krishna. This is the real beauty of life. Beauty of life is not just accumulating so many material articles, procreating big, big families and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Beauty of life is not just getting a lot of fame, because actually you try to be attractive, but in this world, the more attractive you become, the more people envy you, the more people want to exploit you, the more people want to use you. Everyone wants to be rich and famous, but the people who are rich and famous are miserable. Just like one very, very exalted and respectable person who Srila Prabhupada loved dearly. He was a member of the most famous of all rock and roll bands of the 1960s. And women were screaming and crying just seeing his picture, not to speak of seeing him. And everywhere his names were being chanted. Everywhere. Practically every corner of the earth. And yet the man said, those were the loneliest days of my life. He had millions of dollars. His name was in every newspaper, every magazine, along with the rest of the people he used to play his music with. Thousands of people would just jump on him trying to get a piece of his hairs or a piece of his cloth. He would have to have thousands of policemen just to keep the screaming crowds of people who were just weeping and crying, we love you, we love you. But what is that love? He knew everyone was just exploiting him for their sense gratification. He was completely lonely and miserable. He was just trying to forget those days. Now he just works in a garden all alone. Those things do not bring happiness. Money, fame, material sentiments of love and affection. This is all an illusion. We work our whole life to get it, and most of us never even get it. So we have to take another birth trying to get it, and another birth, and another birth, and another birth, just trying to get it. And somehow or other, after many, many births, we may get it. And then we realize it's useless. I don't want it. Then we have to take another birth to find something else. Hare Krishna, this is life. Their material existence. But Krishna is telling us what is real happiness. What we should really strive to get. And when we get that, we want nothing else. Just as an ocean is so full, whether the rivers come in rushing in the rainy season, or whether the rivers are just trickling in because they're so dry from the hot season, it doesn't disturb the ocean. The ocean is full in itself. So similarly, the fullness of the satisfaction of the inner understanding of our relationship with Krishna, coming through hearing and chanting and serving for the pleasure of Krishna, that brings such an experience that what happens in this world, even though we are conscious of it and we're dealing with it, we're transcendental to it. It just doesn't make so much difference anymore. When a materialistic person loses his money, during the Great Depression here in Chicago, when the stock market crashed, so many people were jumping in the Chicago River, jumping off the buildings, because they couldn't face life without their bank balance. But devotee, he has money, he uses it for Krishna. If he doesn't have money,
He chants Hare Krishna. Doesn't matter. If he loses everything, he chants Hare Krishna. In Bombay, one of our devotees, now he's co-chairman of corporation worth billions of dollars. And big, big salary, and he gets all kinds of benefits. He's very famous, big, big house. And then the whole economy in India is in a shifting state. And so many big, big companies are just going down to the bottom. And so many people are going mad and going to psychiatrists and taking all sorts of drugs just to cope with the pressures and the anxieties. And I told him, listen, don't worry. Now he gives average about $12,000 a month donation to the temple. Average, and much more beyond that. And he's been doing that for years. And he's front page of magazines and newspapers about business all the time, and he gets a lot. So he said, actually, everything may fall to pieces. I said, don't worry. I said, if everything falls to pieces, you should know that you and your family could come and live in the Brahmacharya ashram. And we'll always have some prasad for you. And you'll... And he just said, that's all that matters. He said, in fact, maybe it's good if everything does fall to pieces. He was completely serious. Devotees are happy chanting the holy names and eating a little prasad and being with other devotees. What else do we need in life? We hear Krishna Katha, we chant Krishna Nam, we take some prasad, we do a little seva to make devotees happy. That's all we need. And if we make money and we can use the money, then we use it, we do it. If we can be a good example by having a good occupation and showing others how to use a family, how to use our house for Krishna, then we do it. It's nice. If we have it, we use it and we're happy. If we don't have it, we chant Hare Krishna and we're happy. We don't need these things. As long as you need and you're attached to these things, you're always in fear. Because we do not know what the next moment will bring. So if we have talents, if we have resources, show the society how to use them properly. That is great preaching. And if you're like Chandramali Maharaj or Chandrasekhar Maharaj, somehow or other, they don't even have shoes if someone doesn't give them shoes. And if you don't give them shoes, they'll be very happy to dance barefoot wherever they go. It's no problem. Because they have Krishna. See, where do you find somebody so ecstatic like this? I'm just a mirror reflection of yourself. So this is the gift that Srila Prabhupada has given us, Krishna. The gift of Krishna. Krishna Naam, Krishna Katha, Krishna Seva, and Krishna's Bhaktas. Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes, Mataji.
When you were saying the story of Shikhaks, Mathur, and he clapped three times, and you said that he said, if you shall it in you what you want, you will want to serve the river.
But before you go on, he didn't say if Krishna doesn't give me what we want. didn't care. He said, if Krishna doesn't sustain his devotee, I have no reason to live. He had that faith. If Krishna is pleased, he will always facilitate to his devotees to go on with his service. And we should all have that faith.
Hare Krishna.
What he means is that he had a complete faith that by pleasing Krishna through chanting the holy names, there's nothing to worry about. That is the essence of what he was saying. Does Krishna not provide for the insects? Does Krishna not provide for the birds and the trees? Why would Krishna not provide for a devotee who's surrendering his life to propagating the holy names of the Lord? Hare Krishna. Of course, we are not so advanced as Srivas. So some of us have to work. That's all right. We cannot imitate such a great personality. But we can certainly follow the ideal of his footsteps. And that means to become completely attached with faith to the process of hearing and chanting. Not that we should think that I have to work so much that I don't have time to chant. I don't have time to go to the temple to be with devotees. That should not be our mentality. Is there any other question? By being a nice devotee, they will get benefits from your devotional service. Should I tell a story in this regard? A story you all know. But as we hear more and more of the stories we know, we become more purified. You can accept gold even from a filthy place like me. So I will tell the story. There are many, many stories. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. First, he was a great Mayavadi philosopher. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he became a very, very dear devotee. And his son-in-law was an atheist. Not only was he an atheist, but he hated devotees. Do you know anyone like that? Hare Krishna. So this is a good story. So this son-in-law's name was Amogha, and he loved to condemn, blaspheme, criticize, whatever he could get away with. At every opportunity he could find devotees. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited Lord Chaitanya for prasad. He invited him in the morning, and Lord Chaitanya came in the afternoon, and when he saw there were hundreds of preparations, Lord Chaitanya said, "You just invited me a few hours ago. It would take 10 Brahmins 10 days to cook so many preparations. How did you and your wife cook so much?" And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that I did not cook them. The person who is going to eat them cooked it. I only carried the ingredients. So anyways, Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm very happy to see that Krishna has eaten so many nice offerings. Just give me a little steamed vegetable and little steamed rice. I can't eat all these fancy things. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, my lord. This is all Krishna's Mahaprasad. This is your plate. You just take whatever Krishna has tasted. So Lord Chaitanya, just to make Sarvabhauma happy, he started eating. And every time he started eating one thing and the bowl got little low, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would run to the kitchen and fill it up again. But the whole time he was standing with a stick to make sure Amoga, his son-in-law, did not come in. He was very attentive. But in his ecstasy of serving the Lord, for just a moment he became inattentive. We should never be inattentive in our service. Because if we become inattentive, Maya can rush into our consciousness. So that's just what happened. During that few seconds, Amoga ran into the room through the door and started blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. He said, "You call yourself a sannyasi? Look at how much you are overeating." And Sarvabhauma and his wife heard this, and Sarvabhauma came running at him with a stick, and Amoga ran out the door. And Sarvabhauma was running after him, but Sarvabhauma was old. He was running and running, and Amoga was running and running, and he got away. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's wife, seeing this whole situation, she started beating her chest and crying out, "May my daughter become a widow." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was so devastated. He came in the house and Lord Chaitanya said, "Don't worry, it was not a serious thing. Just give me more prasad." So Sarvabhauma became happy to start giving him more prasad. So anyways, Lord Chaitanya ate much more than he usually ate just to try to make Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya happy. The Lord always wants to make his devotees happy. So very soon after that, someone came and reported to Lord Chaitanya that Amoga is on his deathbed. He's at the final stages of cholera, terrible disease. So Lord Chaitanya immediately got up from where he was sitting and went to the place where Amoga was about to die. He was laying in his bed, suffering terrible. And Lord Chaitanya came and put his hand on Amoga's chest and said, "You are a Brahman. The heart of a Brahman is meant to be a pure place where Krishna resides. How have you allowed this filth of envy to enter into your heart? Chant the holy names and rise, Amoga." And just by Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy, Amoga, in that suffering, desperate condition, moments from death, he began to chant the holy names and got up and started to dance in ecstasy. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki! And he was dancing and chanting and dancing and chanting, and all of his cholera went to a distant place. And then Amoga started, he realized that with this mouth, I blasphemed the Lord. I insulted him. So he felt so embarrassed with his own hand, he started slapping his mouth, punishing himself. And Lord Chaitanya stopped him. He said, "Now you are completely purified and cleansed of all the reactions of everything you've done. You just be happy. Chant." And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "Lord, why didn't you let that man die?" And Lord Chaitanya said, "Because he is your son-in-law. anyone who has any connection or any relationship with my pure devotee, I will deliver. Even if they are envious, even if they are atheistic, they will be liberated simply because of the affection that my devotee has for them. So if you become pure, your father and all your relatives will be delivered by the mercy of the Lord. That is just the Lord's natural gesture of appreciation for his devotee. Because a devotee naturally has love for his relatives. He naturally is concerned for the welfare or her welfare. And that is the Lord's promise. So the greatest way you can engage your family members in Krishna's service is to become a devotee. And whether they think favorably or unfavorably, they will be Krishna conscious. Should I give you a contemporary example? One of my very, very dear God brothers and friends. His name is Keshav Bharati Prabhu. Does anyone know Keshav Bharati Prabhu? Raise your hand if you've ever met him. He lives in Bombay at Radharas Bihari Mandir in Juhu. So we meet him very often. Anyways, he joined the Hare Krishna movement in the year of 1969, I believe. And his mother was a very, very strict fundamentalist Christian. I believe she was a Methodist or a Lutheran, but very strict. And when Keshav Bharati joined the Hare Krishna movement, she became so furious, antagonistic, and disgusted. She just thought he was just wasting his life. He had joined a dangerous cult. And she basically said, either you give it up or I reject you forever. So he didn't give it up and she rejected him. She would have nothing to do with him. She despised what he was doing. So for about 25 years, there was zero communication between him and his mother. There was no conversation on the phone, there was no letters, there was no visiting. He was just erased from her life. And he just accepted it as what it takes to be Krishna conscious. Anyways, he heard she had cancer and she was dying. So he felt bad in his heart that before she dies, I should make up with her and I should develop some sort of a relationship with her. Otherwise, it will be hard to live thinking that I didn't at least try before she dies. So he didn't think it could possibly be successful, really, but he wanted to try. So we discussed together. I said, yes, this is very nice. So he went from Bombay to California. And basically, he was just nice to her, respectful to her, helpful to her, and she was so appreciative. And he was just being nice, that's all. He came in with his dhoti and his kurta and his shaved head and his tilak, but he was just nice to her, and she was just so overwhelmed that he's nice. And gradually, he started reading the Bible to her. And she was very appreciative. And then he asked her if she wanted to listen to his scripture. So she said yes. So he started reading Krishna book to her. So she started listening to Krishna book. And then gradually she started chanting japa. And he went to see her a couple times. And every time she completely erased him out of her will, he's the only son, she put him back in the will, she started chanting 16 rounds every day, I think. She was chanting japa. She was just listening to Krishna book all day. When she wasn't listening to Krishna book, she just wanted to hear tapes of Prabhupada. Then when she was coming very close to death, she asked him if she could be initiated. So Keshav Bharati sent an email message to Shivaram Maharaj, one of his And Shivaram Maharaj wrote her a letter, gave her some instructions, and she started following the instructions. And she said, you know, and then she said, I would be so honored if he would accept me as his disciple. So he sent a message back on email that I accept you as my duly initiated disciple. Your new name will be Nandini Devi Dasi. And you should chant. You are very sick now. Chant as much as you can, but always try to concentrate on Krishna and always try to remember that you are his devotee. So when she got this letter, she began to weep and cry. She said, this is the most fortunate day of my life. I've been initiated in Krishna consciousness. And all day she just would just ask her son, read to me Srimad Bhagavatam, read to me Krishna book. She'd just be chanting on her beads. And she'd take, whenever she couldn't do that, she had earphones on of Prabhupada chanting japa. And a few days after her initiation, she left her body, chanting the holy names in complete peace. Kesha Bharati Prabhu was very happy. And she was very happy. Krishna was very happy. And even we're very happy. So just become Krishna conscious. In my own life, when I became a devotee, my parents are very nice, very nice people, but they could not understand, what is our son doing? I went to India, I was gone for years, and I came back a devotee. And when I went to visit them, after being gone for years, I didn't know what is America anymore. I was living in India in the jungles and everything, and I came back and I didn't know how to adjust. I wouldn't sleep in the house. I would sleep on the cement outside. You can ask them. They remember very clearly. And I told, when I saw television, I said, this is Maya. And I saw furniture, things to sit on, I said, this is Maya. And they said, what is Maya? I said, illusion. They didn't know what to think. And I wouldn't eat anything they touched. And the first morning, I got in at night, and the first morning I was out in the cement. It was an apartment. And it was just like a little balcony with a fence and a cement where you put like a lawn chair. I slept on that. Not in the lawn chair, but on the cement. And the next morning they heard all these bells ringing. 4 a.m. So my father, what's this? He came out. And I was offering arti to a little picture of Radha and Krishna with a ghee lamp ringing a bell. He came out. He was all alone. He said, son, what are you doing? And I said, I'm offering arti. I said, you're doing what? And I just ignored him and kept going. Anyways, he didn't know what to think. And I can go on and on and on about these inconceivable experiences he went through, he and my mother. And they were always trying to be nice, that, son, we love you and we support you, but please come home, you're wasting your life. And then just a few years ago, they came to India. They came to some lectures and kirtans, and they were crying, weeping, every night weeping, saying, we are so proud of you. We are so proud of what you're doing. And then it was amazing. It was a Sunday lecture. They were both dancing in ecstasy in front of the deities. They were dancing and dancing and dancing and whirling around. I was leading the kirtan. I was thinking, what's happening? one of our devotees, Srinathji, his mother's in her 70s, my mother's in 70s, and they both start holding hands and swinging and whirling each other around. The devotees were going back and forth with their arms raised, dancing. And then the night came and they were just crying, "We are so proud, this Krishna consciousness is so nice. These are the happiest moments we've ever had in our whole life." Then they came back to America. They started giving tapes to their relatives. Tapes of lectures. And my brother, they wanted me to have babies for him, but I never wanted to have babies for him. I took sannyas instead. But my brother finally had a baby. So they were wondering, you know, what church, what holy place should the child be blessed? And the husband and wife baptized were talking like this. So my mother said, "Hare Krishna temple. Your brother is a priest, he should do it." So they were living in Tucson, Arizona. So I went to Tucson, Arizona to visit, and I couldn't believe it. My mother says, "We want you to baptize our grandson in the name of Krishna." And they invited all relatives and everything to Hare Krishna temple. And I don't know what is this baptizing children. But they just came to the temple and they have little babies there. So I just felt something should be done. So I told them that the blessing is when all the relatives chant very loudly the names of God in the ear of the child. So everyone raise your arms and chant loudly. And I couldn't believe it. My aunts, my uncles. But they wanted the child to be blessed. So. And this girl, her mother and father, they don't know what, they never met a devotee in their life. And her relatives, and my brother, he's the last person I ever thought would chant Hare Krishna. And his wife, she's the second to last person. He was my older brother. My younger brother always chants, but my older brother. They were all with their eyes closed and their hands raised, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare." And then I told them, "For even in more precious blessings, you must dance." So they were all dancing. The grandparents, the parents, the child was like... And then while this wonderful kirtan was going on and everyone was chanting, I took some Ganges water and splashed it in the child's head. It's to make it an official baptism. And then I gave a lecture about human life is meant for developing God consciousness, and everyone listened attentively. I explained what was happening, and we gave them nice prasad, and everyone was so happy. All the relatives were saying, "This Krishna is very nice, very nice." So if you become sincere, Krishna will melt their hearts in the course of time. Does that answer your question? Are there any other questions? Yes.
Can you explain the difference between other mantras like
There are many mantras, but different mantras approach the Lord in different ways. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is called a Maha Mantra because in this age of Kali, in this environment, it is the most perfect prescribed mantra to awaken the highest state of divine consciousness. Some mantras will make you a little peaceful. Some mantra will make you a little less miserable. Some mantras will give you some conception of the impersonal energy of the Lord. But this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will give you direct perception of the Supreme Absolute Truth, the personality of Godhead in His original personal form, and awaken your love for Him, which is the ultimate purpose of life, beyond liberation. Just like in a pharmacy, there are so many medicines, and they all may be good medicines, but according to your particular disease, one medicine is best, most potent to cure you. So there are many, many mantras, but the Vedas explain Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Nam Nam, Kalikal Mashanashanam, that this, in this age of Kali, there is no more prescribed and suitable medicine that has more power to awaken your original love of God than this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Although we respect all names of God, and we honor the names of God and the chanting of the names of God in all religions, but Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, taking this verse from the Akali Santarana Upanishad, has personally taught that this chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra contains all other names of God. It contains all other mantras. It's the perfect, most prescribed medicine in this age of Kali. So therefore we happily chant with great faith, Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Does that answer your question? Any other questions? Does that answer your question? But he will.
There seem to be some very highly evolved beings that I can name. Two or three that I'm aware of who seem to project a feeling of bliss and extremely high consciousness and awareness. That you don't even have to intellectualize over and figure out the sense of that they radiate this God-knowing quality. And the people I'm referring to are Guru Mai, that lady, to call that their Swami, remember that? Like you could look in her eyes and feel all this love as though she knows you beyond the physical body and the soul. Should she seems to have that quality of knowing that she could see more in people than just people. That makes me feel as though what she knows and how what she's teaching is in a way similar to what you're talking about. And yet the mantra is different. It's Om Namah Shivaya. And it's still talking about achieving a bliss consciousness. Then there's another guru named Guru Maharaji, and people look to him as though he's a lot of people look to him as though he's Krishna. Come back in this present day and age that he's a living master, that's when they refer to him. People went before him and bowed down to his feet and got darshan. I mean, that happened to me and I felt blown away as though he's some super powerful being that is just beyond body. I felt just the wave of bliss go through me. I felt that this possibly could be God or Krishna or all the past masters who have come to the planet. The question is, if I'm a little bit confused, because here you're saying that Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, that's the supreme mantra, but that these two other gurus or masters claim that to reach God and to experience ultimate bliss and God.
I understand the question. I understand.
You practice their knowledge. So it seems like there's similar ways of going about following the map to experience ultimate bliss, but you're saying that your way is really the only direct way.
First of all, we're not saying that. We're not saying it's the only direct way. We're saying in the Vedic literatures, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the most highly prescribed in this age of Kali. And they will say the same thing, because it's in the Vedas. In fact, for your information, before I became a devotee, I lived with Swami Muktananda in Ganesh Puri, and I lived with Guru Maharaji in Haridwar before he ever came to America, yes. And I won't go into stories about those things. But I will say this. Swami Muktananda, for 1 hour every morning, everyone chanted only the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And for every evening they chanted Om Namah Shivaya. He declared that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Maha Mantra and the most powerful mantra. He preached it himself. It's in the Vedas. That's another thing, but he admitted that, and he also taught this. And other of his followers, when they came to the West, they taught other things, but that's what he taught. But the most important thing is this: there are many mystics who have powers, but a bhakta is not concerned with powers. He's concerned with love, with devotion, with pleasing God. I won't go into the character of various personalities, but as far as Guru Maharaji, I personally spoke to him. He was personally asking to give me the knowledge. I wouldn't take it. I know, because I was mixing with his highest people, and the highest people in his ashram, they all told me the only reason they could accept him as God is because his mother says he's God. This is how his movement began. I was living amongst them. They said his mother is the Holy Mother. Before him, his father was God. Now the mother decided who was God, and because she declares, therefore he is God. And he had powers. He could touch you and make you experience light. And I knew all the people experiencing light, and they were still taking drugs, many of them. They were still having illicit sex, many of them. They were still talking all nonsense regularly. I was thinking, they're tasting nectars and doing like this, but I don't see the quality of their life is really changing. So I didn't take it very seriously. Anyways, a few years later, he became attracted to one of his Western disciples and ran off with her, and the mother rejected him as God. The mother said, his brother is God, he's bogus. What kind of movement is this? And then he went, and then but you have to judge a thing, the eyes that you're feeling are external too. They went to court. It was in all the Indian newspapers. Who is the proprietor of all of these properties? Him or his brother? They were fighting in courts with lawyers. And just listen. The mother was saying he's bogus. And therefore most of his Mahatmas rejected him. He was caught. smuggling jewels in a country. I believe it was America, who was put in jail. Was Krishna ever caught smuggling jewels? Was Krishna, the supreme lord of everything, ever put in jail by some police? It's a fact. That's why his mother rejected him. What I'm saying is he had powers. He could give you feelings of euphoria. But you can get that from taking LSD too. But the fact is, mysticism is not the perfection of life. In that trial, the judge looked at both of them, because the judge was a spiritual person. He said, you are both liars and cheaters. Nobody can become God. The fact that you are both declaiming to be God, you are both cheaters. Krishna is God, and you can never become Krishna. The judge said that right in the courtroom, and they walked out with their heads between their legs. No one, anyone who declares to be God is a...
He's never claimed that. He said,
Prabhu,
he said experience.
I lived with him. In his ashram, he's standing with a flute in his hand, a peacock feather on his head. He's dressed as Krishna, and he's being offered as Arti, and everyone is calling him Krishna, and he's saying, I am Krishna. That is a fact. You didn't live with him, I did. I don't like to talk about people like this, but for your information, you're asking me. If you want to understand spiritual life, first thing, anyone who declares himself to be God, reject. Because you can't be God. God is God. God never forgets that he's God. Somebody came to him and threw a pie in his face in front of thousands of people. And he had to get off stage and take a bath and then come back out. God is the supreme controller of all controllers. You don't think he can defend himself from a pie? Now, with all respect to him as a person and as a mystic yogi, but he's not God. No one is God. So therefore, if you want to understand the truth, you have to understand what truth is. It's not just a feeling. It's not just a sentiment. The real truth is to understand that we are the eternal servants of God. And anyone who is teaching us to be a servant of God and teaching us to purify our lives, that person we respect, we adore. And there are many spiritual people who we respect and adore because they are teaching this principle. Our movement is not the only bona fide movement. We accept many movements. Even if they don't chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the Vedas explain that's the most prescribed and most powerful mantra. But also you can chant other names of God and achieve the same perfection. That is true. This is just the easiest way. But there are other ways that you can get the same perfection. Lord Chaitanya said, you can chant any bona fide name of God and you can achieve the same perfection. But you have to learn from someone who is teaching how to serve God, how to love God. Our own Guru Maharaj, he had powers, but he never demonstrated them to get followers. He just taught people how to be a devotee of God, how to love God. And in the early stages, his own devotees began to declare he was God. He could have had, he had so many followers, and all of them were ready to declare that he was God and tell the world. Do you know what he did when they came out? Any devotee who declared he was God, he chastised like a lion. He kicked them out of our movement, and he said, you stay out of the movement, you purify yourself, and you get this nonsense out of your head before you're allowed to come in. Because this is the most irreligious and terrible principle, to declare that your guru is God. He's worshipped with the same love that we love God, because he's giving us God. But Prabhupada said, if anyone declares to be God, God spelled backward is dog. So if we want to find the truth, there can be many people speaking the truth. But this is the category. We're not telling you to join just the Hare Krishna movement. Anywhere that you find that someone is teaching to give up sinful activities, to chant the holy name of the Lord, and to engage in the service of the Lord, that you are the eternal servant of the Lord, and to develop love for Lord in that way, then we respect. we honor. They are teaching that ultimately you become God. Study their teachings. I did. Study their teachings. It's one thing to get a feeling by looking in someone's eyes.
But if you achieve liberation, can't you become one with God in spirit rather than...
We can become one with God in the sense that we have no separate interest than the interest of God. But we are always the servants of God. We are always subordinate to God. Do you understand? Do you want to love God or be God? You can't do both.
I don't think they're telling people that they become gods, right?
Study their teachings. If you want to learn...
I think these people are teaching people to become one with them.
Judge a thing by its own merit. There's no need to even mention names. Judge a thing by its merit and see for yourself.
I'm just confused. There seems to be various techniques that can give you that bliss, like you're talking about. The same bliss.
It's not the same. The problem is, you have to actually understand what you're talking about, in the sense that many people consider God to be impersonal, just an energy, and the ultimate perfection of life is just to merge into that energy and become that energy. Now that is an altogether different realization than understanding God is an eternal, all-blissful person with a transcendental form, and that our spirit soul has an eternal form. And in the spiritual realm, there is transcendental loving exchanges eternally between the Lord and the Lord's eternal loving parts. That is different than merging into an energy and becoming one with the energy itself. That is the difference between personalism and impersonalism. Now, the highest truth is personalism.
So
to realize our eternal relationship with God.
To become one with the energy and feel the energy and know the energy, you're taking it a step further by saying that you have to feel an actual personality of that energy.
That is a higher principle of truth, of the absolute. Definitely. And where you find people directly teaching that, that is the highest truth.
But I really didn't know that God had a personality. I thought that he's just power that you feel rather than... I mean, a personality sounds so...
Well, by Krishna's grace, you are being educated in a higher understanding. And it's not me telling you. I'm just repeating the words of Krishna.
I tried chanting the Krishna mantra years ago and I didn't feel it. I don't know why.
The Krishna mantra is meant to purify your heart. Sometimes it's a gradual process. If we chant in the association of devotees and we do it under proper guidance, then we will feel Krishna. That is the most glorious experience, to feel Krishna.
I would like to have an open mind and try to see if I could experience more than what I thought I did in the past. But I still feel this confusion that's getting in the way of my heart feeling anything. I think that if you feel confused, it's hard to let your heart experience.
My suggestion is try to understand Prabhupada's books, associate with devotees, and try to get a deeper understanding of why and how the chanting is working. And you make that experiment and you see. Hare Krishna.
Evo.
Thank you very much. Excuse me for getting excited, but sometimes I like to get excited to express the importance of a point. We shouldn't be blind. You know, you were mentioning things. I looked into those things deeply.
And I didn't mean any disrespect for
anyone. And I don't mean with disrespect for anyone either, but still, you know, I had to express my realizations and my discoveries. Thank you very much. You're a sincere soul. I very much appreciate your probing into the truth.
Years I've been, ever since 1976, 1975, I've been just wandering around searching here and there, and I never really found anything that could fully satisfy me.
My request, open your heart to really understand what is in this Bhagavad Gita as it is. And ask your questions and see. Any other questions? You had a question?
In the batting corner. What is Kali?
What is Kali?
Yes.
How do you know?
Age of Kali.
There are different meanings of Kali, but in the meaning of age of Kali, there are four ages. Satyayuga is the golden age, where 100% of the people are God conscious. Treta Yuga is an age where about 75% of the people are God conscious. Dwapara Yuga is where about 50%, and Kali Yuga less than 25%, and as Kali Yuga proceeds it gets less and less, as we see. In different ages there are different recommended processes of self-realization for the purpose of purifying our hearts according to the consciousness of the people in that age. The first age, the recommended process is meditation. Meditation on the beautiful form of the Lord within our heart. In Treta Yuga, it was the performance of sacrifices. In Dwapara Yuga, it was worshipping the deity in the temple. And in the age of Kali Yuga, the most recommended process is the chanting of the holy names of God. Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. The age where there is so much hypocrisy amongst human beings, and there is so much of a propensity to quarrel, that families are breaking apart, the divorce rate is increasing, wars can start at any time over trifling disagreements amongst leaders, businesses are cheating each other, and people are so frustrated, they're smoking cigarettes, they're drinking alcohol, they're taking drugs, illicit sex is rampant, intoxications is rampant, slaughtering of innocent animals just because we like the taste of their blood is rampant. People are working so hard and then whimsically gambling their money away. This is what Kali means. The age of irreligion and quarrel and hypocrisy. But the age of Kali is the best of all ages. It's the best age. It's our favorite age. People are so less qualified in Kali Yuga that God gives the easiest process.
Is this a period of how many years? A million years? A thousand years? So I don't understand the relation of the three other ages that you mentioned, the relative to this age of Kali. I didn't understand.
Like seasons, there is winter and there is spring and there is summer and fall. These ages are always rotating. In rotation, just like winter will come back again. But you don't have to come back again. It is explained that the great sages, they worship Kali Yuga, because in this age the Lord has made the process of perfecting our life so simple, just by sincerely chanting God's name sincerely. And God has many names. God has many names.
So is your fasting twice a day, 1 hour?
That is how we establish the name of God in our heart. But actually we want to be chanting 24 hours a day. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. We want to always be remembering God. But we discipline ourselves for certain times to establish the principle of remembering God's name within our life. That is important to begin. Yes? What qualifies a scripture to be a revealed scripture is that it is revealed by God Himself. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. Revealed scripture is not the invention of an intelligent author. There may be very creative scholars who could write so many wonderful subject matters, but real knowledge of religion is enunciated by God Himself. And at different times in history, the Lord has revealed. We accept the Quran as revealed scripture. We accept the Vedas as the original revealed scriptures. We accept the Bible as revealed scripture. But how do we know? Because the essence of the perfection of all of those scriptures is the same. To surrender to God, to love God. Different scriptures may be giving different levels of understanding of God. It's like there's kindergarten and first grade and grammar school and high school and college and postgraduated college and PhD subjects in college. The Srimad Bhagavatam is like PhD. How do we know? Not by sectarian belief, but we just see that everything in the everything in practically all other scriptures are within the Bhagavatam. And plus there's so much deeper understanding and so much deeper information and so much further and further realizations. So therefore we accept Srimad Bhagavatam as our own most personally worshipable scripture. But we honor and respect all these great scriptures that teach love for God. Lord Jesus Christ taught, the first and great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Moses spoke the same thing, and Jesus came to perfect that. So in this way, all the scriptures are teaching not to become God, but to love God, to surrender to God. So therefore we honor and worship all these great messengers and messages of the Lord. One more question, yes? Because of your devotional service, they will become purified. And they will gradually develop love for Krishna. Definitely. Just go on doing your nice dancing and chanting and serving. And they will reap extraordinary benefits. One time Lord Chaitanya was preaching in South India and a Buddhist guru came to defeat him philosophically. But Lord Chaitanya defeated him. So he wanted to get revenge. So he brought this big plate of untouchable food
and called it Prasad. And he came to give it to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was just sitting there under a tree. And then this big, big bird came just out of the sky and came down and picked up the plate and went up into the sky with the plate. And all the untouchable food fell all over this guru and all of his disciples' heads. And then the bird went higher and higher and dropped the plate, and the edge of the plate cracked right into the guru's head. And he fell to the ground, unconscious, bleeding. And all of the disciples were so much afraid. They realized that this Lord Chaitanya must be a great soul, that all this is happening. So they ran to Lord Chaitanya and said, "What can we do to save our guru?" He said, "You go and as loud as you can, you chant into his ears, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." So they all ran and started doing that. And then the guru got up and started dancing in ecstasy, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then the guru accepted his disciples as his guru. And they all became devotees. And they were all chanting and dancing. And Lord Chaitanya was laughing and smiling to see Krishna's mercy. Arivo. So the Lord will always reciprocate with his devotees' feelings of compassion toward others. Should we end here? Yes. Archie. Just now, Archie. What time is it?
9:30.
So we'll have late night Archie. Hari Om. Everyone, please stand.